Am I on now? There we go. I always love it when that happens online. Good morning. It's so good to hear about all those things, and I just want to add my thanks as well to everybody who jumps in and gets involved. That's great. Yeah. Where do we go from here? One of the things I do before worship service is I pray. And I've been praying this for a long time, that everybody in the room would have an encounter with God. I don't expect people to remember a whole sermon. Man, I don't remember whole sermons, you know. But there's usually a nugget in there, something that each person needs today. And I view the sermon as sort of a platform, but God is going to do the speaking. And I almost view it as a dialogue between us and God. I've had people come to me and say, man, well, you said that. That was just so helpful for me. Thank you so much for saying that. And I'm saying to them, I'm saying, well, thank you. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't say that. But God did. And so as we look at one verse today, I just want to encourage you to be listening to God. And if he takes you down another path, great. Let him take you down that path. I had breakfast with the director of the school I worked in for the past 4 years. As for those that don't know me, it's a school for a discipleship center for Native Americans up in the Leech Lake Generation. And we had breakfast together. And he asked me an interesting question. As we were talking, he said, over the past 4 years, what did you learn about Native America? That's a good question. And there were two things that came to mind, and really they were both kind of things that, looking at me, is number one, I learned a lot more about being part of a community, even though I was the token white guy there. And being part of something and not being isolated and being individual and thinking I've got to do it all myself. There was a family that I could be involved with. And that was one of the things that the students kept saying to me. They said, your family, your family, your family. And that was a pretty amazing thing when you think about the history in this country, for these guys to say your family. The second thing was I was brought face to face with just how compartmentalized I think in my life. Here's what I mean by that. I tend to have these compartments. I have the spiritual compartment, which is what I'm doing right now. I've got the physical compartment, which is what I will do at lunch. I've got the job compartment. I've got the lawn mowing compartment. I've got all these different compartments, and many times they never touch each other. And this is the way I do life, and this is the way I think. And for my Native American brothers and sisters, very holistic in their thinking. Everything weaves together. Everything is related to everything else. If you've got a problem with your car, guess what? It's a spiritual problem too. And approach it that way. And that was really helpful for me. And my fear is for many of us, somebody asked me this morning where did I grew up in Duluth, Minnesota. My fear this morning for many of us who grew up in this area is, number one, because of the culture that we've grown up in, we're very individualized in how we do things, and we don't really embrace the community that God has given us. And the second thing is we tend to compartmentalize, and we don't see the spiritual in the everyday things. And I think I mentioned this before. I don't want to be part of a club. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in knowing and experiencing Jesus. That's why I'm here. That's the only reason why I'm here. And so we're going to look at the last verse in this section we've been looking at for a month and a half. Colossians 3:17, where it says this. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Kind of wraps it all up. Okay, regardless of what you're going to be doing, and it's interesting the construction there for all the Bible scholars in the room, he actually makes a point of using two different words for whatever. One word has to do with all the individual things and focusing on them, and the other word has to do with everything as a whole, basically saying whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that takes care of that compartmentalization pretty well, because he's saying everything, literally everything you do, whether it's fixing a flat tire or whether it's making a meal or whether it's catching a walleye or whether it's serving in children's ministry, whatever it might be, every one of those things, do it in the name of Jesus. And you go, wow, how do you do that? That's what we're going to talk about this morning for the next, well, I don't know, it's not going to be all that long. It's only going to be about 10 minutes here, but that's okay. Somebody just got, oh boy, only 10 more minutes of this. Everything we say, what we do with a customer service person when we have to go back to customer service, which I hate doing. When I got to mow the lawn and I don't want to mow the lawn. When I have to have a tough conversation at work, and I don't want to have the tough conversation at work, do it in the name of Jesus. But the question is, how do I do that? How do I do that in the name of Jesus? And I think we have to understand that phrase, the name of Jesus. So that's what we're going to focus on here a lot. First of all, when the Bible talks about names, it's talking about so much more than a word that was applied to us around the time we were born, okay? My name, I was given the name Paul. I actually asked my father, I said, hey, why did you name me Paul? I mean, is there like this deep meaning or something? He said, nah, it's an easy word to yell, so that's why I called you that. Okay. Really, that's what he said. That was my dad. That's the way he was. Okay, but the point is that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, names refer to not only this word, but it also referred to the character, the nature, and the abilities of the person. It was all wrapped up into one, which is why for those of you who've read the book of Exodus and you know that Moses was confronted with a burning bush, and what does he ask God? He asks, what's your name? You go, well, why in the world would he ask something like that? I mean, you got this bush that isn't burning up. You're thinking about names, really? Well, he wanted to know with whom he was speaking. And God gives him the name, Yahweh, I am. Everything that can be, I am. That's the Old Testament. Interestingly enough, in the New Testament, Jesus was given a name. We use the word Jesus. That's the Latinized term. Actually, his name originally, if we had pronounced it back then, would have been Yeshua, which is not unlike Yahweh. And Yeshua means God saves. And so when we're dealing with doing something in the name of Jesus, sometimes we get the idea that if I just say those words in the name of Jesus, it's supposed to be like a magical potion or a formula or something, and something's supposed to happen. And actually what I'm doing is I'm bringing into my life the character and the nature and the power and the love of Jesus Christ, and I'm doing things in his name because I want him to be so involved in my life, which is really what really following Jesus is all about. Now, how do we do this? There's a couple of things we need to remember. Number one, when we do things in the name of Jesus, we've got to remember that Jesus is Lord. He's in charge. He's the boss. I'm not. And that sounds simple, but it's hard because we are so focused on ourselves. You know, even a lot of the worship music that's coming out today that I'm hearing on the radio isn't so much about worshiping God as much about telling God about me. And it's easy to do that. Yeah, well, what about me? And when I truly come to Jesus and I truly accept him as my Lord and Savior, I'm basically giving up lordship and I'm saying, you're the one who is in charge. You know, Romans 10:10 says, if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Confessing that Jesus is Lord, letting Jesus be in charge of everything. I mean, he earned it. He did create the universe, so he has obviously earned this right to do this. And things just go so much better when we do our lives based on the advice and the leadership of the one who invented life. When I got my first car, I didn't quite understand why I needed to keep changing oil in it. I was kind of stupid. Fortunately, someone caught it before I destroyed an engine. They unscrewed the plug underneath, and one drop of oil went, bloop, and that was it. Some of you that love cars, you're going, what was wrong with you? I'm stupid. But how many times do we do life where instead we know what Jesus wants us to do, and then what do? We go our own way anyway. Because Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Except what if the guy who's telling us what to do really knows what to do? And he is Lord. You know, you got these bracelets out there. I just discovered these this last week. I didn't know they were there. It says God first on it. I assume there's a history to that, something. It's a good thing, you know. Let's make the bracelets disappear this morning. Now, granted, it doesn't say Jesus, it says God, but Jesus is God as well. I said, God first. I'm going to put him first in everything that I do. I'm going to let him call the shots. I'm going to let him be the one that tells me what to do. You know why? There's one other thing, too. Because ultimately, I don't belong to me. I belong to Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. And what was the price? The blood of Jesus. We belong to him. All our stuff belongs to him. Our time belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. He is Lord. So when I'm doing things in the name of Jesus, I'm doing understanding that he is the one in charge. And I thought about that. I actually thought, okay, what will my life look like if really honestly, not just saying it because I'm up here, but actually living this way, what would it look like if in absolutely everything I said, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And then just do it. What would that look like? Be fun to find out. That's the first thing, the lordship of Christ. But then there's a second thing. And the second thing is the authority of Christ. Not only is he Lord, but he also has authority. And we need to understand authority is something significant. Authority is something that we hand to other people. It contains power, but it's not just power. And this is so helpful for us to know this, that if we're a follower of Jesus Christ, we have his authority. I've had to deal with that several times in my life. When we worked in Austria, we started churches in the country of Austria. I would have people confront me, just, you know, right in my face say, you know, what are you doing over here? You're an American. Why are you coming over here telling us what to believe? You know, at first I tried to think of some cute way to defuse the situation, and I realized I can't defuse the situation. That ain't going to work. So then I realized, wait a minute, I'm here because Jesus sent me, and ultimately, this isn't your country, it's his country, and if he wants me in his country, this is where I'm going to be. And so I just start telling people that. Interesting thing was, they all look at me and they go, oh, okay. Nice, I should have thought of that beforehand, you know? I'm not here as an American. I'm an American, but I'm here because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That was really helpful working with Native Americans because, man, I would get it there. You know, somebody come up to me and just say, hey, you're a white guy. You've got your own religion. We've got our own religion. What gives you the right to come and tell us what to believe? Same guy that told me to go to Austria. Jesus. And it helps us. It helps us to take a step and stand firm sometimes when we're just being bombarded by resistance and resentment from people around us. In addition to the authority, we do get power from Jesus. And we say, I'm so glad that Eric talked about prayer this morning because this is a resource that we do not take advantage of. And by the way, I just want to let you know, if you need prayer this morning, there'll be people up front here who would be glad to pray with you today. Please take advantage of that. You know, there's that old song, the lifers in the room. Remember that old song we used to sing? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And one of the things I learned from my Native brothers and sisters, if something's going down, if something's happening, pray now. Don't wait. Don't, like, exhaust all the other possibilities, and then, oh, I guess we can't do anything else. We might as well pray. Pray first. You save yourself a lot of hassle. So, real good example. I got invited to go down to the country of Nicaragua. There was a mission team down there, and they wanted to have a retreat. They asked me to come down and do Bible teaching. They wanted Bible teaching on what's called the armor of God. This is in Ephesians chapter 6. It's basically armor that is used to teach us spiritual truths. Paul did this in Ephesians 6. It talks about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, sandals for the preparation of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. And we went through all that stuff over the weekend. We were at this camp up in the mountains where there's a bunch of coffee plantations all over the place. I mean, you coffee lovers, you'd be in heaven there. It was awesome. And the last day I was supposed to talk about prayer, praying in the Spirit, okay? We go in to have our meeting, and we're doing our worship time and all that kind of stuff. We're in this building, and the building had a corrugated tin roof on it, okay? And as soon as the worship guys got done singing, it started to rain, okay? And it was a Nicaragua rain. I mean, it was like this thunderstorm. It was coming down, and it was like being inside a drum. All right, and I'm supposed to teach, and this is a team of Nicaraguans, so I'm doing it through an interpreter. I can't speak Spanish, and I said the first sentence, and the interpreter looks at me, and he went, huh? it was bad, okay? I mean, it was so loud, and so right away, we're trying to come up with solutions. Let's get everybody really, really close, and, you know, turn the microphones all the way up, and, you know, it would have been just awful, and I'm standing there, and I'm going, man, I am such a hypocrite. Because here I'm going to talk about prayer, and it's raining, and we can't hear, and I'm too chicken to pray about the rain. And so I told everybody, I said, listen, guys, I'm going to pray that the rain will stop. Now, obviously, I'm telling the story the way I am, you know it's coming. And I did. I prayed the rain would stop. And as soon as I said amen, the rain stopped. Okay. Now, knowing the little bit that I know about meteorology and rain and physics, if the rain literally stopped when I said amen, it actually stopped beforehand. You should have seen that room. There really is a God. Whoa. But how many times do we have those experiences where God answers a prayer and we go, oh, there really is a God, I guess. But the only way to have those experiences is to step into it. Now, does it always work that way? No, it does not. I'll be honest about that. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sharon prayed for her father to come to Christ, I think, for like 22 years. I prayed for him as long as I knew him, which is 9. He finally came to Christ right before he died. Sharon and I have other things we're praying for that still haven't come to fruition. 18, 20 years. But here's the deal. We're not going to quit, because sometimes what God does when he's bringing us to prayer is he's working on our hearts, and he's teaching us, and he's shaping us, and he's helping us to become the people he wants to make us. And he's using prayer to do that. Which is why I am absolutely convinced, in addition to spending time daily in the Word of God, we need to spend time talking and listening to our Heavenly Father, and that is part of doing everything in the name of Jesus. And I'm just going to ask you point blank, how's your prayer life? Honestly. It's one of the things we always ask our students. Are you talking to God about the stuff that's bothering you? Are you listening to God? And I just want to invite you to step into that and to experience the living God of the universe. Because there's one other thing. Jesus Christ gave himself for us. He died on the cross for us. He saved us from our sin. And since he did that, we know he loves us. In fact, Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not Christ told us we were nice people or anything else. He died for us. Which, when we really stop and think about that, it brings a response of love to him. We're coming to someone who loves us dearly. Remember we said at the very beginning of this whole thing, we are chosen, holy, and dearly loved. We are dearly loved by Jesus. And we are coming to somebody who dearly loves us. This is not about a box in our lives. This is about a relationship. And because I love Jesus, what do I want to do? I want to make him look good. We always do that with people we love. We want them to look good in the eyes of others. And if I'm doing things in the name of Jesus, that means I'm doing them so that Jesus looks good, as though Jesus is doing it, regardless of what it is. If I'm doing something with my neighbor or my friend or my neighbor's kid, or man, oh man, on and on it goes. The driver in the next lane that didn't see me, or the kid on the jet ski chasing the loons. I mean, no matter what it is, I'm going to do it to make Jesus look good. I think all of us need to take stock. How am I interacting with the people around me? Am I doing it in such a way? In fact, this is another thing from my father, in addition to telling me that he gave me my name so he could yell it easily. He said, every undertaking you take, every business deal you do, every interaction or negotiation you have, do it in such a way so at the end of that time, you can look the person in the eye and say, I'd like to tell you about Jesus Christ, and it won't be hypocritical. And there we all have to take stock. How am I doing in all of this? Now, the good news is that this is a process. I mean, we don't expect perfection right away. It's a process. We learn, but we've got a coach. We've got the Holy Spirit who will help us do this. He will help us to do everything in the name of Jesus. So maybe these are some things to think about and maybe wrestle with. For some of us, we may need to go back to somebody. We may need to go back to somebody and apologize and make things right. For others of us, we may need to rethink our game plan moving forward in terms of dealing with, like in my situation, my neighbor who would like to shoot guns out his back door and then his dogs would bark at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. How do you deal with that in a way that you do it in the name of Jesus? I don't have an answer for you, but the Holy Spirit does. I'm convinced of that. We went all the way from Colossians 3:10 to Colossians 3:17 over about 6 weeks. What did we talk about? We talked about the fact that as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, it says to put on compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, because you were called to one body and you were called to live in peace. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. One last thing. Colossians 3:15, Colossians 3:16, and Colossians 3:17, all three of them include being thankful. You know why? Because we forget to be thankful. We just do. And he just reminds us. And so this is what I'd like to ask you to do as the worship team comes out. Let's take a little bit of time. Let's just pray. Take the time to simply ask God, God, based on everything I just heard, what do you want me to do? And I'll listen to him. And let's see what he says to us. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, the things that comes to mind for me right now is I just want to say thank you for giving Sharon and me the privilege, the opportunity to do this part of our walk with you with this group of people here. Thank you for that. That is a great gift that you've given us, and I don't want to take that for granted. And I want to thank you on behalf of us all that we get to do this together. We get to follow you together. Help us Help us to do it together. Help us to take those things in our lives that we've kept far from you and bring them under your lordship and do these things in the name of Jesus as well, whatever that looks like. Give us the wisdom when we lack it. Give us the patience when we need it. Give us the love for people that is many times failing, at least in me. Thank you that we get to worship you together now. Amen.